Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
I'm so excited to be here with you guys in this actual building. This is completely different to what we've had before. You know what was amazing? I could actually hear your voices. It was beautiful. When you sang, I was like, oh my gosh, it sounds like heaven in here. This is amazing. Well, hey, today I get the privilege of opening up the Word with you and sharing today around Good Friday. And I'm really excited to share what God's laid on my heart for you as a congregation. And for those who perhaps are here for the first time and really don't know much more than Easter being chocolate on Sunday or chocolate whenever you want it and hot cross buns. But today I'm just going to share a couple of little things with you around Good Friday and around what it all means and around Easter. But I first want to start with, you know, that one of the joyous things I experienced today was having just the young kids at the front and the freedom that they felt just to even dance across the stage. Like, it was absolutely beautiful to watch. And it reminded me of this, and I feel like it's on God's heart for his kids today. And you can be 30, you can be 40, you can be 50, you can be 70, but you're still one of his kids. And he wants to usher you into a whole new freedom. He wants to usher you into a whole new understanding of not God out there distant somewhere, but God personal and in relationship with you. And I stood there and just watched these children. It reminded me of my own experience. I actually shared with some of the kids who were in kids at the Healing Summit on the weekend. Are any of those kids here today? Any of them? Are they up there? But literally, Will, you were there. There was a really special moment as I just began to share my testimony. So is it okay if I share my testimony with you today? Is that all right? I was the age of five. And I love how God can just move despite age. He's not interested in age. It's about the heart and the posture. At the age of five, I went to bed, usual night. Mum put me down. Dad came and kissed me on the head, and that was it. Went to sleep, and I had a dream. And in my dream, I heard this sound of a trumpet. And there was a sense of urgency in this dream. And I got up from my bed, and I knew instantly that I had to run outside. And so I went running through the house, down the hall and out into the lounge and dining room and tried to open the back door. And the back door was like jimmied shut and I couldn't shut it. I couldn't open it. It was shut. And I was pulling on this door and it wouldn't slide open. And then eventually just slid open. And I was like, wait for me. And I ran outside to find Jesus hovering in the clouds with my family. And as I ran towards him and my family, I said, wait for me, wait for me, wait for me. And he looked at me and he said, you're too late. And I was like, what do you mean I'm too late? Like, I didn't say it out loud, but internally I'm like, what do you mean I'm too late? What do you mean I'm too late? And then literally as he's looking at me, all I can see is this love and compassion in his eyes. And I could feel this warmth embrace, and the brokenness of not being near him was so big. And in that moment, I could feel and sense that there was a gap between me and him that wasn't meant to be there. And as I looked into his eyes, he was looking into mine, but it was almost like he was looking through me. And as I could picture and turn my head, I could see thousands of people behind me, streaming in behind me, being told exactly the same thing. And everything changed in that moment. I woke up from the dream. I ran into my parents' bedroom and I was like, Mom, Mom, Mom. And I explained to her what I just dreamt. And literally in that moment, she told me what Easter was all about, what Jesus and who Jesus was all about. Now, you have to forgive me. I was five, so I didn't understand. And she didn't go into the depths and the details of Jesus came, he lived and he died and he rose again. But she told me how much he loved me and wanted me to be in relationship with him. At the age of five, you're still trying to navigate with your parents. What do you tell your kids? What don't tell your kids? Because, you know, anyone here confused about the fact that we call it Good Friday, but yet the story of Jesus' death doesn't seem to be good to us? Like, do you ever put death and good in the same sentence? It doesn't happen. Because we never associate death with being good. And so as a kid understanding this, the only other thing I ever knew was that Jesus loved me and he wanted me to be with him and he wanted me to know him. And from that moment on, I became the little kid who could not shut up about Jesus. Everywhere I went, I was like, do you know Jesus? You need to know Jesus. Do you know Jesus? You need to know Jesus. Do you know Jesus? You need to know him. I didn't know anything. I didn't tell them the theology of why the Bible and how the Bible and all of those things. I just knew that Jesus loved them and that he wanted to know them and they needed to respond to him. Yeah. See, when we think about the understanding of Easter and we think about how Good Friday is so backwards but yet so forwards, you can only understand the good news if you understand the bad news. And so the bad news connects back to Adam and Eve in the garden when they sinned and they broke their relationship with God by choosing their own way and deciding that God was holding something back from them and they ate of this tree, which then brought separation between them and God. So much separation and even guilt and shame that came upon them that when God would come through the garden every night of the day, he would walk with them and talk with them and have intimate relations. He was with them. And he comes back into the garden at one time and he's like, Adam, Adam, where are you? And he didn't go to Adam and ask Adam where he was because he couldn't find Adam. He's God. He knew where Adam was. He was trying to get Adam to understand where he was. Adam, do you realize that we're out of relationship right now? Adam, do you realize the decision you made has brought separation between us now? And in that moment, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 that the Lord took a lamb. He killed it and he clothed Adam and Eve. Well, as a kid, I'm like, well, what'd the lamb do? He took an innocent lamb, killed it, and clothed Adam and Eve. That is the point at which sin entered our world. That was the point where everything changed. And God introduced a system for mankind to be in relationship with him. And actually to the point they could see when Adam and Eve had God to themselves, they had relationship with him. There was no separation. There was no gap. But what happened is when he instituted a system, they had forgiveness, but they didn't have, I get to walk with God like I used to in the park anymore, in the garden anymore. And they lost something in the connection with God. They could be right with him through the atonement of sacrifice for their sin, but they could no longer walk with him like they used to. And that separation was never God's intention for mankind. He wanted us to be in relationship with him. And so when we understand that Good Friday exists because a man came and lived on this earth and then died for our sin. See, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. It also says that we have all sinned. Because of what Adam and Eve did, it brought sin into the world and it makes you and I sinners. Sin is what we did or what we do. It's disobedience, it's independence, it's disbelief. And in the same way we choose to walk in our disobedience in our own lives and our own independence in what Adam and Eve do, we do today. And we walk separated from him. But it's God's desire that we would know him. See, sin separates us, but Jesus paid a price for sin so that you and I could be reinstated in our relationship with him. Not just to have forgiveness for the things that we do wrong, but to have relationship with him. And see, when we look at Good Friday and we understand it through the lens that a man came and he lived and he died, and he rose again means that all sin is conquered. Why? Because he first loved us. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, he demonstrated to us while we were still sinners, he demonstrated his love to us while we were still sinners. He demonstrated it on the cross. He showed us his love, that he died for us and paid a price. Now, it still doesn't make sense when you go good and Good Friday and death. Let's check out this story in Luke chapter 23, and we really need to see this because the picture of this is an innocent man who was not found guilty by trial, was led to be crucified, and it literally says that Pilate could not find him to be guilty, tried to find a way to release him, but it was the religious people who wanted him to be crucified. And says this, so Pilate decided in verse 24 that their demands should be granted, and he released a man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder. His name was Barabbas. From whom they asked, but he delivered Jesus over to their will. The religious people got what they wanted, but heaven gets the loudest roar. It says that they led him away and they seized Simon, a young man who was coming in from the country, and they laid upon him the cross to carry behind Jesus. You know why I know why Jesus didn't carry his own cross? Because a cross meant you were guilty, and Jesus was never guilty. Let's jump down to verse 32, and it says there were two others who were criminals who were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the skull, they crucified him. And one of the criminals on his right and one of the criminals on his left. And Jesus said then, Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments, and the people stood watching as the rulers scoffed, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, for he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. See, they didn't understand that there was a price to be paid. They didn't understand that there was a sacrifice that had to be made. Jesus at any moment could have pulled himself off that cross. In actual fact, he sat in a garden in two chapters earlier and sat before the feet of Jesus and said, Lord, if it is possible, take this cup from me. I don't want to go through to this. And he said, not my will, but your will be done. When Adam was in the garden, they said, my will, not yours, God. And he completely changes the circuit of things because the first Adam ruined it. The last Adam established it. It goes on and says, the soldiers mocked him, coming up with an offering of sour wine and saying to him, if you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. And there was an inscription over him that this king of the Jews, that he was king of the Jews. And one of the criminals who were hanged and railed at him and said, are you not the Christ? Why don't you just save yourself and us? Again, invested in self. But the other rebuked him and says, do you not fear God? Since you or I are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed justly deserve what we are receiving because it's due reward for our deeds. But this man, he's done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you today that you will be with me in paradise. Now it was about the sixth hour, there was darkness over the whole land, the ninth hour, and the sunlight failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Curtain was 6 inches wide. It was cut from top to bottom. And in that moment, when that took place, other passages say that the earth shook. And then it says that Jesus cried out with a loud voice, and said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And in other books, in John, in actually John 19:30, it actually says that he said, it is finished. And having said this, he breathed his last when he saw the centurion had taken place. When the centurion saw this had taken place, he said, certainly this man was innocent. Jesus was an innocent man. He was like the innocent lamb in the beginning. And what Adam was overcome by Satan in the garden, Jesus overcame Satan in the garden. He completely rerouted history for you and I to have relationship restored back with our Father. The Bible says that he was innocent, that he was without sin. He was tempted in every way, in every respect, but yet without sin. Oh, He was innocent. In actual fact, in John chapter 1, verse 19, it says that John the Baptist was hanging out with his disciples and preaching, repent, the kingdom of heaven is near. And literally they see Jesus coming towards him and he says, here comes the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. The Lamb in the book of Genesis with Adam and Eve took away their sin for that moment. And from that moment on, it was a system that was introduced that every time there was sin, there would have to be a sacrifice made. And it set up a system. When Jesus came, he was the Lamb of God to come and take away the sins of the world. Not the sins of Israel, not the sins of just the Jews, not the sins of just good people or righteous people or religious people, but the world. And the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, that for God so loved the world. The reason for Good Friday is because he loved the world. That while we were still trapped in our sin, he chose to go to the cross and pay a price that you and I couldn't pay. Bible says that the wages of sin is death. You and I were deserving of death. But because of the love of the Father, he made a way in which we could have relationship with him. And it was through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection that we now have right relationship with the Father. And it is good news. It is good news. See, when that curtain was torn in two, it literally means that it gave us direct access. See, in the system, it literally meant that you could go to the outer courts, the inner courts, and then the Holy of Holies was only left to the righteous people, the ones who had made sacrifice, and before they had a chance to sin, they'd get in through the curtain and get in to seek God and make a sacrifice on behalf of all the people. That was the way. But when Jesus died, even before he took his last breath, heaven came down and went shunk from top to bottom through 6 inches of carpet, which no man could have done in the natural. It was separated. The earth quaked and the Lord said, it is done. And it is done means it is paid in full. Paid in full. Hebrews says he opened up a new and living way through his flesh. So when he was on the cross, the flesh was torn and he died. And literally as a result, we can now step into the Holy of Holies and have direct relationship with our Father, like that which of which Adam and Eve had in the beginning. He restored. That which was started in the garden was finished in the garden with Jesus, but it didn't stop there. Because when they buried Jesus in a tomb, the tomb was in a garden. It started in a garden, it was finished in a garden, and the Lord sealed it in a garden, and it was done. It was done. It literally means that the word he said was tetelestai. You're going to have to read that for yourself with the Greek book. It'll tell you how to say it. But it literally means that this happened and is still in effect today. It's not that it happened back then and it was there. It's in effect for us today. So the reason it's Good Friday is because it's good news to you. It means that you literally have access to the Father. And you know how you get it? Through faith. Romans chapter 5 verse 2 says, it is through faith that we obtain access into relationship with him. The beauty of this story and this narrative is it's not just a book written like a history book to refer to. It's a love letter written to every single person on the face of the earth. And it's his desire that all men would know him. And this moment of history that we still stop and celebrate today, and it literally turned around all of time from before Christ to after Christ, everything changed as a moment of right now. Good Friday. Because it was the greatest victory. It was a cry of victory and it was the greatest victory. When he said it's finished, he wasn't, oh, it's finished, I'm done, I can't do anymore. No, it is finished because it's been paid in full. And what it justified God's justice system. When he made that statement, it literally justified the heavenly justice system where sin had to be atoned for, where sin had to be paid for. And he paid a price that you and I could never pay. He paid a price that you and I could never pay. But can I tell you this? The empty cross is the payment for our sin. Whoo! But the empty tomb is the receipt for every single believer. The empty tomb is the receipt that you get to hold. Jesus has done it for me. The empty tomb is your ticket into heaven. The empty tomb is your ticket into relationship with Him. Rather than being separated from Him, you have right access with Him. See, you need to understand this because, okay, when we think death, we think finality. You never put death and good together, right? Just, the terms don't match. When we think death, we think finality. When Jesus thinks death, He thinks open door into heaven. Because the Bible says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave us His Son to pay a price that you and I couldn't pay. But whoever believes in Him, belief being the key word here, shall not perish but have eternal life. Eternal life with Him. Death is only a door that we walk through to a place of eternity, and we get to decide what that looks like. See, belief is the key factor that changed everything for the two criminals, because both of those criminals were sinners. When Jesus was in the middle of those two criminals, He was the only innocent man. He was the only innocent sinner, but He took the place of Barabbas, because it was meant to be Barabbas that was meant to be in the center of that group. He took our place, all mankind's place, and laid down His life with innocence. He became sin in paying the price for our sin. But you know what the beautiful picture is? When the thief was on the cross next to Him, one thief looks at Him and says, well, why don't you get us out of this? The other thief says, don't you fear God? Don't you realize that this is the King? He is innocent. And he turns to Jesus and says to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This man is a sinner. He's a murderer. The least likely person to you and I to think that should be in heaven. But Jesus says, today, that moment, right there, right then, he was made right with God. And when he died, he took his first breath in heaven. Oh. See, Lord. Jesus bridged a gap that you and I could never fill. And he brought us into right relationship with him. And when that thief said to him, remember me when you come into your kingdom, that moment there was a response of the heart. And everything changed for him when he recognized and when he acknowledged Jesus. He didn't understand the fullness of it, but his heart shifted in its posture. All it takes is a shift in your posture towards him and an openness of heart. Like I said before, the Bible says that it's through faith that we have access to God. And it's so simple and so available to each and every single one of us. And when his last breath becomes our first breath, he actually makes us new creations. See, when Jesus died and he took that last breath, it was his last breath here on earth that enabled all of us to take our first breath in coming to life in him. See, when Adam died, he didn't die. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, God said to them, if you eat of this fruit of the tree, you'll die. Did they die physically? No. They died spiritually. Their spirit man died. And when Jesus took his last breath, it was God that breathed in Adam and brought him the full breath of a being. And it was Jesus' last breath that enables our first breath. The Bible says that you and I are new creations in Christ. The Bible also says that the first Adam became the living being and the last Adam, being Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. Meaning that the old covenant that was established with Adam is no longer any longer. It is now a new covenant with Jesus. meaning the old one is obsolete and there is a new one. The only way to the Father is through Jesus. The only way to relationship with God is through Jesus. And why? Because God created you in His own image. He wired you, built you, and wanted relationship with you. But He also wired you with a free will, and He will never violate that. He stands at the door of your heart today and He knocks. And He says, if you will open up the door of your heart, I will come in and dine with you and you with me. And He will do a relationship with you that will change your life, not only here on this earth, but for eternity. Because the Bible clearly says that those who know Him will have eternal life with Him. But for those who don't, there is a condemnation and a fire and a judgment that will take place for them. And today is Good Friday because it's good news. Because all that's required is a shift in your heart. All that's required is a shift in here that says, I don't want to do life on my own. And maybe you're here today and you say, oh, well, I know Jesus, but maybe you haven't been in relationship with Him. Maybe you just check in and check out a church and that's as good as it gets for you. And maybe that's what your relationship looks like. But can I tell you today, there's so much more. There is so much more. The Creator of heaven and earth wants to walk in relationship with you. He wants to connect with you. He wants to release you into freedom. He wants you to find your identity. He wants you to help you walk through this life with purpose and intent. And He does all of that because He loves you. He loves you. And all that's required of us is that we would believe. The Bible says that as a result of that belief that we will have eternal life. But do you know what else you receive? You receive the forgiveness of your sin. Anything that you have done goes against your conscience. Anything that you have done that would separate you from the love of the Father. The Bible says that you will receive the forgiveness of your sin. And like I said before, it's not just a once-off once then, it's forevermore. Past, present, and future. All of that has been dealt with when Jesus went to the cross and paid a price for your sin. And then 3 days later, He rose from the dead, bringing victory over Satan, over sin, and over death, because death no longer has a hold over you. And the beauty of this is that it's a free gift. A free gift. Everybody loves a free gift. There's no strings attached. It's a free gift. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. We've dealt with that. But the free gift of eternal life. Woo! God gave us the free gift of eternal life. So right now, right across the room, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And just like a little kid today, I'm going to ask you, would you simply put out your hands like you're about to receive a present? You're one of His kids. He loves you. He has a purpose and plan for your life, and He wants to be in relationship and connection with you, to walk with you, to talk with you, to lead you and to guide you. That you could say of Him that I am His and He is mine. And when you have a hands out in front of you like a child to receive a gift, all that's simply required of you is that you would take that gift into your hands and you'd unwrap it. On the other side of that unwrapping is a life like you've never imagined. A life in intimacy, a life of relationship with Him, a life full of love, a life connected to your Creator. A life that will give you purpose for your future. A life that will lead every step you take. And it's so simple. All that's required is that we would believe. So right now, I'm just going to ask you to simply say to the Lord, I receive. I receive. Today, Lord, we, Your people, stand before You and we say we receive. We receive of Your great love, Your great mercy, this great message of the good news on Good Friday. God, we understand the weight that was on Your shoulders when You sent Jesus to this earth and to watch Your Son pay a price so that we could have relationship with You. Oh, Father, I'm so grateful that You sent Jesus and that You gave Your only Son. so that we can have a relationship with you. And I thank you, Jesus, that by faith this is obtained. And Lord, I thank you for every person in the room right now that is having a heart posture change as a result of hearing the good news. And I pray right now, Holy Spirit, you would come and you would seal that in their hearts, and you'd begin a revelation of who you are in their life, and begin to lead them and guide them as what it is to know you and to walk with you, to talk with you. But Jesus, I thank you that you're not a religious God up there somewhere out there waiting to strike somebody, but that you are a God full of love, with so much love that you would literally send your own son so that all of your children could know you. And I thank you, Lord, that you're willing that none should perish, and you are holding off for your return in order that your people would respond to the good news of the gospel. And so, Jesus, right now, I ask you to come into this room right now as we open up our hearts to receive you. Holy Spirit, bring conviction into our hearts. And Lord, as we respond to you, that God, new life would be created in us, that we would become the new creations in Christ Jesus. Oh, Lord. Thank you, God, that which started in the garden, finished in the garden with Jesus, was sealed in the garden when you rose him from the dead, from the tomb. Oh, but I thank you, Lord, that Revelation chapter 22 says that it'll all be complete in the garden to come, in the new heaven, in the new place. That, Lord, when we step from this earth into the next, that God, literally, we step through the doorway of death into heaven and into the garden that you have established for us so we could be with you. Jesus, I thank you for your great love. I thank you laid your life down. No one took it from you. You chose to lay it down. I thank you that you submitted to the will of the Father. I thank you that you did that for me and that you did that for us today. And Jesus, right now, I thank you that that which you did then is now relevant for here and now. And that just as you brought new life then, you're bringing new life now. And I thank you, Lord, for every heart that is being opened right now, every heart that is responding to receive of you this gift. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you became sin that I might become the righteousness of God. Oh, Lord. I thank you. Jesus. Right across this room right now, the Holy Spirit's been doing a work in our hearts. Through the moment where your heart has responded to him and there's been an engagement with your heart, just like it was for the thief. When we ask ourselves, which thief do we relate to, that God, we can actually relate to the one that responds. And just so I know who I'm praying for today, today's maybe the first time that you've ever made that decision and you felt a posture in your heart change. And maybe it's been a long time since you've been in church. Maybe it's been a long time since you've been in a relationship with the Father. Would you do me a favor so I know who I'm praying for? Would you raise your hand so that I can pray with you? The Bible says that when we confess with our mouth, believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord, and then he rose from the grave, that we shall be saved. So there's a belief happening, but there's a confession. And just so I know who I'm praying for as I lead into this prayer, we're going to do it all together. I just want to know who I'm praying for. So would you do me a favor and just give me a little wave and say, yeah, that's me. Just a small indication. No one else is looking around. It's just you standing before God. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Whew. So, Lord, right now I thank you for your children as they respond to you today. Lord, we choose to accept the fact that you came, that you lived, that you died, you rose again to bring forgiveness of sin into our life, to bring right relationship with you, for the right for us to be called your children, and for the right for eternal life forevermore. I thank you, Jesus, for that which you've done. And today we receive of you your love, that while we were still sinners, you died for us. Oh, we thank you, Jesus, for your mighty work. In Jesus' name. Amen. Church, this good news is not meant to be kept in the four walls of a church or of a building for an hour and a half on a Friday or a Sunday. This good news that I've shared with you is something the world needs to know about. And I want to encourage you, this weekend, you've got Resurrection Sunday. Probably one of the greatest opportunities to bring someone to a service. And maybe there are people in your world that you've been thinking about, praying for, having conversations with. Can I encourage you? Invite them. Bring them with you. Bring them into a space where they can hear the good news of Jesus, his resurrection, because he overcame the grave. He died, but he didn't stay dead. He's resurrected, he's alive, and he's looking to bring new life to others. And you know what the beauty is? You and I get to be carriers of this good news. Do you know what it says in Matthew 28? That they were so filled with excitement when they heard that Jesus had been risen from the dead. Jesus turned and said to them, "Go and tell. You have received of him today. Go and tell." Whether you've just received today and you weren't bold enough to stick your hand up, or whether you've received it many years ago or just last week, go and tell. Because it's a life-changing moment for anyone who believes. And the Bible says, how can they believe if they have not heard? How can they hear if no one will preach? Now take preach out. This is not preach. Preach is literally share. Church, we've got a privilege and an honor to co-labor with Jesus this Easter. There are invitations out on the desk, out in the foyer. Take them, hand them out. We've been sending street teams out in the street all week through our Numa School of the Spirit students. They've been having conversations with everyone and everywhere. You'd be amazed at how open people are to actually receiving an invitation or receiving the good news in and of itself. We're seeing salvations. We're seeing healings breaking out, all because they're willing to go and tell. 32 students hitting the streets every Thursday for 2.5 hours, and it's changing things. It's changing things. People are coming in. People are coming into the family of God. People are finding Jesus. People are finding love. People are finding their place to call home. God wants to do the same thing through you. Who are the business people in your world? Who are the co-workers in your world? Who are the families you do school drop-off and pick-up off with? Who are the ones that you get your coffee from? Who are the ones that you get your groceries from? Who are the ones that you don't really maybe even know, but you could give an invitation to? And then who are the family members that you're like, man, if death was to come and it's a doorway, I don't know where they'd go. You need to invite them. It's God's desire that all men would know him. And you know what's crazy? Is God doesn't send angels to go and tell the good news. He sends you and me. He sends you and I into the world, which is absolutely ridiculous, because I don't know about you, but I let him down plenty of times. But he chooses to use us to reach mankind that more might know him. Honestly. So what we're going to do in this moment is the worship team are going to come back. We're going to sing a song. We're going to sing worship to our God. But maybe today you're like, oh, I know this message, and I'm sitting in this service going, oh, here we go, another Easter message. But maybe you're like, you know what? I actually need to get beyond a consumer and actually be one who will be a deliverer of good news, a contributor to the kingdom of heaven. So we're going to worship, and I'm simply going to ask you to stand and just respond to the love of the Father. Let him remind you again of who he is, his purpose and plan to reach mankind.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.